Coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, we had the All Share dipping into negative territory there, pressured primarily by the Financial 15 space. It trading over 1% in the red. Industrial 25 losing 0.25%, but the Resources 10 component moving in the opposite direction, up close enough to 1%. And of course, a large factor coming into play here has been that weaker rand. Joining me at the desk now to have a closer look at the day's markets action, Graham Frank from PSG Wealth Santon. Graham, thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening. So it's been a pretty interesting day. I want to start off on the global arena first, because we've had markets moving higher, a lot of positive sentiment fueling the kind of upward momentum we are seeing when it comes to the US-China trade talks and how those are set to play out. How are you feeling amidst it all?
Yeah, as you say, the U.S. markets have had quite a strong rebound, not only in the year to date, but in the last few days. Obviously, optimism in terms of the trade talks with China, which has been a massive hold on markets. So just looking at it, the U.S. market so far is up just over 10, nearly 11% year to date, obviously in dollar terms. Mm-hmm. But that said, it came off a very similar amount in Q4 of last year. So we saw a dip in the U.S. market, a rebound in the beginning of this year. So a lot of volatility and, as you say, nervousness around the trade talks, and maybe a little bit of optimism at the moment, which is causing this recent rate.
How do you see this impacting monetary policy? Because chatting to Jonathan Myerson there, I alluded to, central banks becoming dovish, certainly when you're looking at, things from the ECB, Japan this morning coming through saying that they could be proposing a lot more stimulus. But then the U.S. seemingly turning more hawkish as they worry about the kind of rally they are seeing on the equity market scene.
Yeah, I mean, even within the U.S. market, you've sort of got the Donald Trump and against the Fed. But my personal view is that we're going to remain fairly loose globally. And I think that's going to feed through to South Africa. I mean, I'm not a bond expert, but obviously I was somewhat surprised that we did have an interest rate hike the last time around. And I don't think we're going to see too many more of those in the current environment, notwithstanding the slightly weaker rand.
Of course, it's activity on that front that impacts our local unit. Today holding pretty steady at about that 14.11, 14.12 mark for the most part. But it's that rand weakness, relatively speaking, that has managed to support our miners. And within that space, a few companies out with results today, BHP amongst the lot. Your overall reading of what was presented today?
So just maybe one step back in terms of our local market. You're right, Resources have been the star performer year to date. They're up 15% just this year so far. The All Shares up just a little bit under 8%, which obviously means the financials and industrials are a little bit lower than that and supported by Resources. BHP came out, I thought, with pretty decent numbers. Maybe a little bit disappointment on the 55-cent dividend. But that said, remember, they did pay a very special high dividend of 102 US cents back end of last year, beginning of this year. So, and I think that's a very big theme with the miners generally, a massive improvement in balance sheets, a massive improvement in cash flow, and hence dividends, which are coming through. We saw it with Amplats yesterday. We've seen it now with BHP Billiton. We saw it with Kumba, although they had a slightly different issues.
Were you surprised? Because it's despite the dip back that we've seen, in its profits, that we saw it pay out, 100%, in terms of that dividend policy of headline earnings.
Kumba.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they paid 30, just a shade over 30 rand a share, which on a share price of 350, 360 is a pretty good yield. So I was a little bit surprised that the market was as negative on the Kumba results, as you mentioned in your preview, perhaps more government-related, more Transnet-related. Which, by the way, is a common theme in the market. Any company that's got anything to do with government at the moment, there's a fair amount of cynicism around that. But Kumba, some good results. And as I say, a massive follow-through from Amplats yesterday also fed through to Anglo American today. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the star performers on the day.
Well, I want to look at Anglo Gold Ashanti, because we have it exiting South Africa. That's seemingly the reason behind its improved profitability, but it isn't just a South African story here. It's a company that is tightening its grip on its entire portfolio, which currently sits with the 14 mines, and that entire, portfolio coming under reevaluation.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not alone. I mean, the gold companies, be it AngloGold, be it Goldfields, be it Sibanye, have been in the news recently. And, you know, all of them have shown an improvement in profits. I heard on the radio coming here that a Kruger Rand price is the highest it's ever been. So, you know, the Rand gold price is going to feed through to the miners, and they're very leveraged either way, good or bad, to the Rand price of gold.
Yeah. Looking at the kind of maneuvering they're doing and the restructuring they're doing, is it winning favor yet in your books as an opportunity to delve into these gold plays?
Yeah. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we're not particularly bullish on the gold miners just because there's so many moving parts and there's so much volatility. Within that space, we would prefer AngloGold just because it's tended to be the blue chip in the sector and less volatile in a very volatile set of companies.
Okay, I want to take a quick look at Comair because despite reporting record revenue up 12%, we've had its headline earnings coming down, so not filtering through to its bottom line, and on account of a rising fuel price. How forgiving are you of something like that?
Well, I think we've all been the victim of a higher fuel price, filling up our own tanks of petrol. And what struck me is just how Comair has struggled from a profitability and a very well-managed business, and the feed-through that that could have to SA, you know, having had their managerial challenges over the years. So I'm somewhat forgiving. I happen to analyze airline stocks in Europe for a long time, and they are extremely difficult businesses to manage.
Absolutely.
In particular, the oil price.
Okay, what's your stock pick at the moment?
So I'm going to go for Rand Merchant Insurance, RMI. I mean, the shares are down 27% over the last 12 months, trading on a P of about 11 times. And this is a theme we're seeing amongst the many SA Inc. type stocks, you know, cheap. I think cheap maybe for a reason, concerns with the budget tomorrow, concerns with GDP growth, but certainly a great, well-managed company.
Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Graham, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Graham Frank is with PSG Wealth Santon. Miner AngloGold Ashanti delivered solid annual results today. That's as headline earnings per share surged over sevenfold to 53 US cents, fueled by lower amortization after the closure and sale of some of its assets, as well as higher income from its Kibali operations. We're joined on the line now by CEO Calvin Dushnisky for more perspective on the numbers out today. Calvin, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So the headlines have centered around you tightening your grip and warranted, where it's exactly that that's yielding results right now. But it also sends a certain message when the results come on the back of AngloGold exiting South Africa. Is there any other way to interpret that than mining in South Africa is just not viable and a South Africa exit pays off?
Well, Alicia, first of all, thank you for having me. And in respect of South Africa, we should be clear. You know, we're running the Mponeng mine and the tailing surface facilities, and I'm very pleased with how those assets are running. Mponeng in particular, a very good asset, has excellent infrastructure, it has grade, and it's a very large reserve base. And really importantly, I think the restructuring that's happened around that asset over the last 2 years has now positioned it such that in the third quarter of last year, we were free cash flow positive. Likewise, as we went through the end of the year, and we expect to be in the same position in 2019. So we're going to continue to work on the cost structure, and it's a great asset. We'll continue to progress it forward.
Does that scupper your listing plans in either London or Toronto, which is part of which started the conversations on AngloGold Ashanti exiting South Africa completely?
You know, there's been speculation around listing plans in London, Toronto, or elsewhere, but I have to tell you, we are focused on what's in front of us. We have lots of work to do with the portfolio. You never say never, and we've been clear on that. But for the moment, we have our hands full. We have a big year planned in front of us, which includes the Obuasi project, which we're going to be bringing on stream this year, progressing projects through our pipeline, focusing on driving down costs across the business. So lots of work to do. Our hands are full, and that's where we're focused.
Calvin, I guess illustrating just that is the fact that while you've closed Tautona, you've sold Moab Khotsong and Kopanang last year as well, but part of the rationalization now sees you putting one of your Argentinian mines on the chopping block too, along with Sadiola in Mali as well. So where exactly are you on this rationalization agenda, whittling away at what you've described as a very asset-heavy portfolio?
Well, With respect to Sadiola, which we announced in the third quarter, and then today we announced the process for divesting potentially the Argentine asset, I really want to make a point, which is both of those assets have been strong contributors to the company's portfolio. Argentina in particular, I think we've been 25 years operating there, and it's been an asset which has generated significant cash flow and has a bright future. The reason we've identified it as a candidate for potential divestment is, when you look at it, it's a single asset in a jurisdiction where we're not likely to be investing more. And so what we've articulated is a strategy where we're going to focus in areas where we've got a critical mass and we can see ourselves investing into the future. But at the same time, I want to also be clear that in respect of both those assets, they're good assets. And if we don't see full value surface for them as we go through this process, we're also perfectly content to hold them, and we'll continue to operate them for some time into the future.
Okay, so you're emphatic about the fact that there will be no fire sales at this stage. What kind of interest are you managing to garner from the market? I mean, what kind of appetite is there for assets like this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, but I've been through these processes before in other companies, and what you find for good quality assets, particularly assets where there's prospectivity, there's always a market for it. There's always a buyer. I liken it to real estate. If you have a good house in a good neighborhood, real estate markets go up and down, but you tend to find a buyer.
Okay, so optimistic on that front. It's all happening, of course, as you focus on low-cost mining to pull you down the cost curve at the end of the day. What impact is all of this starting to have, Calvin, on your cost line, and what are some of the targets you've set further down the road?
Well, I think that that's one of the things that we reported on this morning, and we're quite pleased that across the portfolio, our all-in sustaining costs came in below $1,000 an ounce, which is encouraging. So we're steadily moving down the cost curve. To give you a general sense, you know, we've moved from midpoint in the industry cost curve to into the second quartile. And where we'd like to see ourselves as we move out over the next 2 or 3 years is in the upper quartile, the first quartile of costs. And as we bring in lower cost production from mines like Obuasi, as Kibali is continuing to fire in all cylinders, Geita, which is a solid asset, and others. And as we apply our operational efficiency program across the portfolio, that's our target. We want to be a top quartile producer.
Of course, investors want to know if earnings like what you've presented today are in fact sustainable, bearing in mind that there is somewhat of a low base effect to take into consideration here.
Well, as far as earnings, where we're focused, Alicia, is to continue to drive margin. And what we're seeing is, as we apply the efficiency programs we have in place, and as some of the investments that we made over the last few years, for example, a combination plant at Siguiri, the enhanced recovery enhancement program at Sunrise Dam in Australia, and as some of these initiatives start to kick in next year, and as we go forward, coupled with, again, the Obuasi's coming into production, we do see the ability to continue to generate these kind of earnings. And if we have a supportive gold price, I think that the future is bright for us.
Well, let's leave it there. Calvin, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Calvin Dushnisky, who's CEO of Anglo Gold Ashanti. And that's where I leave things with you for now. Coming up after the break, it's the Roffey Review. So stay tuned for that. And I'll see you back at 7 o'clock. What's your stock pick at the moment?
So I'm going to go for Rand Merchant Insurance, RMI. I mean, the shares are down 27% over the last 12 months, trading on a PE of about 11 times. And this is a theme we're seeing amongst the many SA Inc. type stocks, you know, cheap. I think cheap maybe for a reason, concerns with the budget tomorrow, concerns with GDP growth, but certainly a great, well-managed company.
Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Graham, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Graham Frank is with PSG Wealth Santon.